Right now, we want to welcome the EVP Mediums, the Paranormal Research Group, with us this morning. And we have with us Joyce and Randy. Good morning. Thanks
good
for
morning.
Joining us.
Good morning.
And we wanted to know what to talk about. I thought maybe we could let the spirit move us into whatever we want to do. For those people unfamiliar with EVP Mediums, tell us a little bit about your organization, what you like to do. As one thing, it says, we bring voices to the dead. I saw some quote.
That's our tagline.
Tagline for that? Expound on that a little bit.
Well, we're an EVP group where we actually go out and use different types of technology in different buildings where people will call us and say, oh, we're experiencing something. Unusual things are happening. We have doors opening, closing, things like that. So we go out and our mission is to try to get a story. And a lot of times by using different types of technology through EVP and ITC, which is, you know, electronic voice phenomenon, we will ask questions, interact, record video, and then play it back and try to hear. A lot of times we can actually hear things real time and put a story together. So that's part of where we claim that we give voice to the dead.
Just sort of be able to be there when it's something's happening, but then be able to listen back in sort of a separate, more technical way to see whether there was something there that you had like that. How is it that you kind of got into this? You're one of the co-founders of it.
I'm the co-founder.
Now, it says here, I do pronounce you for the spelling bee, and I'm working on this word, clairsentient?
Clairsentient. It is a type of medium. I am probably the only true medium in our group. Although I think everybody is a medium or sensitive to a certain point. You know, if you walk into a place and you say, oh, I feel uncomfortable or I feel like something's watching me, then you have that sense. I started out as pretty much a clairsentient, where I could walk into a building and I can sense that there's something there. I could feel emotion. I can feel pain. But then over the last few years, it's kind of gotten a little bit broader where now I can actually hear and communicate and in some cases see spirit. So,
is it something that comes naturally that's with you all of the time, or can you sort of turn it on, turn it off? How does that work?
In the beginning, when I first realized that I could do this, I couldn't turn it off. I felt like I was constantly in communication with spirit, so it was difficult. Through helping and talking to other mediums that had been doing it for a lot longer, they kind of gave me hints on how to ground myself and separate it. So with practice, yes, I've been able to separate it. Unless there's a spirit that really, really wants my attention, then I kind of have to pay attention.
Is most of your time sort of just calming people for something, or do you end up sort of finding things that have to have a step two or another result once something has been discovered?
We actually have three goals. We want to help the client, we want to help the spirit, and we want to educate the public. So a lot of our time is spent with the client, calming them down, letting them know that just because something is interacting with them doesn't mean that it's evil, that it's dangerous. Because a lot of times, it's not. So, but with Randy being the only true medium, the rest of us can only talk to spirits through EVPs. So we do spend a lot of time doing that and trying to understand why the spirit's agitated, what's going on. It seems that earthbound spirits have the same personality as when they died. So if they were cantankerous and ornery when they died, they're cantankerous and ornery now. If they were fun and playful when they died, they're fun and playful now. But when you're in the living plane, you don't really understand why somebody's moving your stuff around. I mean, it seems kind of hostile, but it could be something that's just a child spirit that's having fun.
Randy, was there a point where you knew you had this, shall I say, talent or ability or some innate sense here? And how did you deal with that?
It first came out where, like 3 or 4 years ago, I had a lot of activity going on in my house where I would wake up to door slamming, pounding, things being moved. So I actually had, at that point, we weren't doing a whole lot of you know, anything other than just a few little recordings here and there to see what was going on in my own house. And so Dave, our founder, had asked me, we had done so many EVPs and not videoed anything. He said, you know what, I really want to video this and see if we can start actually capturing something on video. Would you mind doing the video? I said, sure, I'll do it. The morning of our very first investigation, I started getting visions of a house. Like, I woke up seeing a house in my head, and it's like, what am I seeing this house for? I described it to Dave, and he's like, well, that sounds like the house where we're going. And I've never been there. When we get there, I told him exactly where it was on the street, told him exactly what it looked like and what it looked like inside before we even went inside. So that was so odd to me that when we actually walked into the house, I was immediately like flooded with a spirit emotion where I started like violently crying, and it wasn't me. It was actually a spirit so excited that I was there and could sense they were there that I was feeling their emotion. That opened up a floodgate right there. Dave teases and says, well, I guess we figured out Randy's never going to be our videographer. So, but that kind of opened it up. Throughout the years, there was little things of deja vu, but I never, you know, growing up in my age group, it was like, you didn't talk about that stuff. You were just going to be crazy and, you know, medicated for it.
We're talking today with Randy, also Joyce with EVP Mediums, the paranormal research group, evpmediums.com. They have podcasts and other different things there as well. I wonder with the, you mentioned about growing up at a certain age, there are people now who are growing up at a certain age that are used to this sort of thing. There are multitudes of different things on Discovery channels, other places like that, where they're seeing sort of this people with the sort of that night vision kind of look or the other sounds and listening to this. Some seems more like maybe a campfire ghost story. Other ones maybe have some truth. And you also then see, I guess, the emotion that's whether something is happening, the people there are truly believing something. And sometimes when they have people come in to kind of investigate, it at least gives them validation for what they have. Can you talk about some maybe of your cases or experiences you've had that you've done with some things that really kind of made you want to continue doing this sort of thing?
Well, I think we learn from each one. Every investigation we go on is different. And when you actually go in and you hear the client's story and what's scaring them, and then we start doing our investigation and can actually start to unravel the story and possibly why the spirit's there and why the spirit wants attention. And then the homeowner's actually there when we're doing it, they start to feel more emotional about what's going on and understand it more to the point that, you know, no, we're not scared anymore. And we get a lot of clients, we've met wonderful people on our investigations where they are thankful to understand. So it really kind of ties it together, and they feel a lot more comfortable once we've gone in. As far as investigations, though, I think Orville was a really good one.
Our last investigation?
Right.
It would, like Randy said, we learn something at every one. A lot of times we get bits of information that we can't confirm. We don't have a historian on our group. That's one of the places where we're really lacking. So we'll get bits of information, and it's hard to validate them. Well, in this case, we actually got the name of a train accident that was mentioned because we were getting that there were people there from a train, some kind of train tragedy. And when we Googled it, it actually existed. And in this case, the homeowner was doing research on their house. And so we were able to put together that there were spirits there from the train tragedy. And we got a name, Tom, and found out that Tom was indeed the engineer. Now, the tragedy happened 30 miles away, so we were trying to figure out what the relationship was. Well, he actually lived, this was in Orville, in a beautiful historic home, over 100 years old. Across the street, of course, everything had been razed and there was a Wendy's, and he had actually lived right across the street. So we were able to tie this spirit to what we were hearing, to an actual event, and to the location. So it's really amazing when we can connect the dots and make sense of what we're hearing.
Randy, you mentioned there are different reasons for a spirit becoming active at a given point. Can you give us an example, maybe one or two, of why that might be?
I guess I use the example a lot of our Rumsey Park investigation, where it's, if anyone's familiar with the west side of Vermilion, there's a castle right on Lake Road, a castle sort of home, and it was the Rumsey Park Farm. It's been there since the early to mid-1800s. It was originally a huge farm. Throughout the years, that's been a lot of things. A lot of people have lived there, and people said, oh, we never experienced anything there. The recent owners moved in, and they said, we have lights coming off and on. We have things being moved. Our dog is, like, chasing things we don't even see. And when we did the investigation, these ladies are so spiritual and so open to anything good that it was like when they bought this property and moved in, it was like they opened the door spiritually. And I believe that all of these lost souls just gathered there feeling comfortable and started doing things to let them know they were there. There was never anything really bad there, and that happens a lot. People think, oh my God, my house is haunted. It's, you know, something bad's going to happen. And a lot of times if someone in the family starts to become more spiritual or more open-minded, little things will happen because the spirit senses that it's okay to let themselves be known.
So the spirits at some point may be afraid as well to show themselves.
Exactly.
Or to do things.
We've actually been to properties where I could tell that a spirit was hiding because it was afraid of something else or another spirit.
Well, not only do you go to homes and places and obviously working with the technology and that, but you also have come to libraries, you do speeches, you interact with the public. Do you have one coming up that you can talk about?
Well, the next one we have scheduled is in the Lorraine Library System, September 23rd. So as we get closer, we'll start advertising that. But we do have in the works a couple investigations at historic properties in Lorraine. If we can get all that arranged, there's always levels of bureaucracy to go through for those kind of things. But we've also done a benefit at AmVets in Vermilion, and that came out really, really well. So I think we're trying to get another one of those in the works for another.
Well, with these, we've been doing the fundraiser where we actually go in and do an investigation. This one was at AmVets. Then we premiere our findings at the fundraiser. And the fundraiser, of course, will have other, you know, auctions and things there. And the money goes towards the Veterans Home in Sandusky. We've done that. We're working on one fundraiser in Lorraine, which will help fund that project. The lectures, of course, we love to do because it helps to educate the public, which is what we also like to get out there.
And we don't charge our clients, so we work on a donation basis, and we pay our own way. So it's always good if we can do a benefit and put out a basket and say, we'll take donations.
Right.
but we don't charge clients at all.
So you've been here for a while. Anything in our studio? Is this building, this the Elyria block building? I'm sure everybody, like a doctor, asks you to check their elbows or whatever. Wondered how things are going in our area.
There is activity in the building, and there is, actually, we did an investigation right across the street at Powerhouse Gym.
Oh.
And it was very interesting. There was a lot going on there, and we believe that the spirit of John Dixon came through very clearly. So anyone interested in watching that can go to our website and look up the Powerhouse Gym. That one was an awesome investigation right here in town.
EVPmediums.com is where they have their podcast. You can learn more about all that they do. Randy Joyce, thanks for coming in this morning. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having us.